If you would this morning, if you would turn in your Bibles to the book of Judges, chapter 13. The book of Judges, chapter 13. Judges is in the Old Testament, right after Joshua. Chapter 13 and verse 5. Everybody have it? Do I need to wait? Judges chapter 13, verse 5. If you will stand, not for me this morning, but for the reading of God's word, if you're able. It reads as following, and I'm reading out of the King James Version this morning. It says, "For lo, thou shalt conceive and bear a son, and no razor shall come on his head. For the child shall be a Nazarite unto God from the womb, and he shall begin to deliver Israel out of the hand of the Philistines." You may be seated. This morning I would like to use for a topic, born with a purpose. If you would allow me to deviate for just a moment, for the past few Sundays, we have been talking in Sunday school from the book of Proverbs, talking about the wise sayings of Solomon. And you know, Solomon was known as the wisest man in the Bible. The Bible say that people would come from everywhere to hear the sayings of Solomon. And centuries later, here today, we still use some of those Proverbs. And we apply them to our lives and we live according to the wise sayings of Solomon. When we're talking to other people, we always say, be careful how you talk to other people. Be careful how you talk to your children. Don't tell them that they won't be anything. Because if you tell them they won't be anything, then they won't be anything. But if you speak positive into their lives, then it will build up their self-esteem. And they will try to do what you said they can do. Solomon said it like this. He said, death and life is in the power of the tongue. On our job, when you have people who are receptionists and secretaries and people who will be dealing with customers that are coming in, they go through training and you are taught that if a customer comes in and they're irate or they're upset about something, you are taught to remain in control and to keep your voice down. And by doing so, it will allow them to become under control, and then they will bring their voice down. But if they come in and they're upset, and then you get upset, then everything is going to begin to get out of control. Solomon said, a soft answer turns away wrath, but grievous words stirreth up envy. He becometh poor that dealeth with a slack hand. That's what Solomon said. Now, when I was growing up, I used to hear my mom say that he that dealeth with a slack hand shall come to want. Meant the same thing. It meant that when God places you in control of something, whether it's your time, whether it's your talent, whether it's money, whether it's a spouse, whether it's a friend, whether it's other people, regardless of what it is, if you don't treat it how God wants you to treat it, he'll take it away from you. He will become as poor that dealeth with a slack hand. We tell people with children, and the pastor quoted it this morning, train up a child the way that they should go, and when they are old, they will not depart. These are things that have been passed along, wise sayings of Solomon that we have used. But then when you study about Solomon, when I look at him, a man who was blessed with wisdom, a man who God came to and asked, what can I give to you? Isn't it a wonderful thing to be in a position where God would come to you and ask you what he can do for you? Solomon said he wanted wisdom. God responded, because you didn't ask for riches, because you didn't ask for long life, because you didn't ask for the life of your enemy, I'm going to give you riches and honor along with the wisdom. A man who is blessed. But then when you get over to the book of Ecclesiastes, This same man says, vanity of vanity, all is vanity. Solomon came to the point to where he realized everything that he had enjoyed was worth. How do you get from having everything and then getting to the point to where it's all worth it? Solomon had a weakness. The Bible said he had 700 wives and 300 concubines. Solomon's weakness was women. And not only did he have a weakness towards women, but he had a weakness towards the wrong type of women. When you study the book of Solomon, or when you study about Solomon, you realize that he is a man that shows us that it's easy to know the right thing to do and not do it. Now, I'm not going to preach about Solomon on this morning, but in talking about Solomon, I see a man who is blessed, but a man who's dissatisfied. And so what God told me is that there are a lot of people who are blessed, but not satisfied. Or there are some times when you say to yourself, I know that I'm in the will of God, but why is it that I feel so unsatisfied? Why is it that I feel so confused? When you look at where you are in life today, are you really happy? Are you really happy? So sometimes you just say, I'm just tired. But you don't know what you're tired of. Do you wonder sometimes what God has in the future for you? Blessed, but not satisfied. Solomon, a man who had all of these things in the physical. He had the wisdom, the money, the honor, God's favor. He had it all. And men were saying he had all the women. He had it all. But yet still, he realized that none of it was important if you didn't serve God. All right. And God is wanting me to say to you this morning, take a moment and pause, like the pastor said this morning, because he wants you to rethink your purpose and the direction that you are going. I'm going to say it again in case somebody might want to write it down. God wants you to rethink your purpose and the direction that you are going. When you think about it, are you really in the will of God? Are you really doing what God wants you to do? Are you doing just enough to say that you're doing what God wants you to do? Do you really care about the people who are around you, your sisters and your brothers? Are you really being a light to this world? Do you really care about who people see you talking to, where people see you going, and what people see you doing? Can you really say that I've passed from death unto life because I love the brother? Can you say that you have changed, blessed, but are you satisfied? Our text this morning is coming from Judges chapter 13 through 16. And we're talking about a man by the name of Samson. And you all are familiar with the story about Samson and Delilah. We're talking about a man named Samson, a man who was born with a purpose. A man who teaches us that we got to choose wisely the people whom we associate ourselves with. And we need to make sure that our personal desires don't outweigh our spiritual responsibility. We got to make sure, I'll say it again, through the life of Samson, that our personal desires don't outweigh our spiritual responsibility. It seems strange that I switch from Solomon to Samson. But what I see between Solomon and Samson is that they shared the same type of weakness. They both had a weakness towards the wrong type of women. And when I look at them, I see where God has a pattern of blessing his people. But his people also got a pattern of falling short of his blessings. Do that sound familiar this morning? God chose Samson, a man born, chose Samson to be set aside for him before he was born. The Bible says that an angel went to Samson's mother. And the angel said to Samson's mother, you're going to conceive a child. And when you do, it had some stipulations that she had to go by. It said that you're not supposed to drink any type of intoxicating drink. In other words, no alcohol is to go inside of your body. The angel said that you're not supposed to eat anything that's unclean. Now, when it said unclean, it's not talking about something with some dirt on it that you can just go wash some water, get some water and wash it off. In this particular time, there were certain animals that was deemed unclean, meaning unholy, and some that were holy. Some that God permitted his people to eat, and some that God said you're to keep away from. He said you're not supposed to consume anything that's unclean. When this child is born, the child's hair is going to grow. A razor is not to touch this child's head, because this child is to be a Nazarite from birth. And when you look up Nazarite, it also says that if you're going to be a Nazarite, you're not supposed to come into contact with anything that's dead. And so God had set Samson aside, not before birth, but before conception, for his purpose. And so when you know, you hear about Samson and Delilah, when preachers preach about Samson and Delilah, they normally go in the direction of talking about Delilah tricking Samson and revealing where his source of strength come from. But as I was reading those three chapters, I realized that before Delilah came into the picture, that Samson had already begun to compromise. Or Samson had already contaminated his relationship with God. You know how sin is. It, most of the time, it just don't happen overnight. It comes in a little bit at a time. And when God don't punish us that first time, we begin to get comfortable with it. And the next thing you know, we're living a lifestyle of sin. And so Samson, just like Solomon, he had started a habit that affected the gift that God had placed within him. And when Delilah came on the scene, he was already becoming spiritually weak. It said that Samson was strong in the physical. And one day he was on his way to one of these women's house and a lion attacked him. It said he ripped the lion's jaw apart with his bare hands. But then later, when he was going back, he was curious. You know how we are sometimes. Sin, it piques our curiosity. She looked good. I wonder if she married. You know? And if she is married, I wonder if she had. You know how sin is. It piques our curiosity. Here he had torn this lion's jaw. But now he wants to know, I wonder, did it kill him? As a Nazarite, he was not supposed to come in contact with anything that was dead. So he goes this other direction. It said he took a detour. You see, when you're on the right path, sin is not on it. You got to take a detour in order to get to sin. And so he took a detour. And he went and he saw the lion. The lion was dead. But then it said bees were in the lion, in the carcass of the lion, and they were making honey. And he reached out and he ate some of the honey. And not only did he eat it, he took some home to his parents. And I just want to put a little note in here. Be careful about what you allow people to bring you. It may be sweet, it may look sweet, but as a Christian, it may not be good for you. It may be contamination. And so we see here where Samson and Solomon had, I said, the same type of weakness. They had some similarities here. They both like women. But I also see some similarities between Samson and us. When you go to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4, it states that God also chose us to be his before the foundation of the world. So if you have accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, just like Samson, you have been set apart, or you have been chosen by God before conception. If you believe what I'm saying, look at your neighbor and say, I was born with a purpose. That's right. You were born with a purpose. But even though you were born with a purpose, you were not born perfect. God knew that we would not be perfect human beings. And that's why he put in place something called forgiveness. And if you are sincere and you go to God and you ask him for forgiveness, he is just to forgive you. He knew that we would need forgiveness in order to get to where he was trying to take us to. You know, sometimes I think that our view of God is much too small. You know, we say Lord of Lords. We say King of Kings. We say he's sovereign. But when things come up in our lives, how do we act? It's hard for us, I think, sometimes to think of God really as Lord of Lords. I think sometimes we put God in a box and we think of him on the level of humans. We do everything that we can, and then we consult him to see what he can do. And then when he don't move when we want him to move, we still want to, we think of him on a human level. But have you ever went outside in the early morning time and just look at the sunrise? Look at how the sun knows when it's supposed to come up, and it knows when it's supposed to go down. The moon knows, okay, sun, you done your thing? It's time for me to do mine. It's nighttime. Nobody has to tell the sun and moon what to do because God has already taken care of that. We haven't heard where man has done anything to change the rising and the sunset of the sun and the moon. God is so awesome. When you sit there and you look at it and you say, you know what? God is the one who spoke this world into existence. That same God is the God that put the stars up in the sky and every now and then one will twinkle at you. It's the same God who put supernatural strength into Samson. He's the same God that made you and I. And he's the same God that created us for a purpose. I want you to say it again. I was born with a purpose. But you know, just like Samson, we got to stay away from the dead stuff. You know, when you come in contact with the dead stuff, the dead stuff makes you spiritually unclean. And then it also begins a spiritual death, a spiritual separation between you and God. You know, some people may say, well, you know, exactly what is the dead stuff? The dead stuff is sin. Because sin is the only thing that can separate you from God. Let's say that the dead stuff is adultery. In Matthew 5:28, Jesus got even deeper than that. He said, whosoever looks at a woman to lust for her has committed sin in your heart already. Jesus knew that it wasn't just about the outside. He knew that it was important what was going on in the inside of us. He knew that what was going on in the inside was what was going to control our outward behavior. And so Jesus said, you know what? It's more than just committing adultery. It's when you even start thinking about it. We got to be careful about what we think. We got to be careful about what we allow to go into our thoughts. That's the reason we have to always stay prayed up. That's the reason we have to always stay in our word, because we got to keep those things blocked away, and it builds us up. So when those things try to infiltrate our mind, we can say, stop, hold up. And we can do just like Jesus when he was tempted by Satan. We can say, that's not what the word of God say. This is what the word of God says. Let's say it's the dead stuff is drunkenness. You know, a lot of people drink to have fun. Well, a whole lot of people drink to have fun. But you know, some people drink because of what is going on in their lives. Some people drink because there is loneliness in their lives. There's hurt in their lives. There's pain in their lives. Some people drink because there is a void within them. And there is a void within them because when God created us, he created us in his image. And the only thing that can fill that void within us is the Spirit of God. I don't care how much you drink. I don't care how much you wait on Friday so you can have your drink and drink all weekend. On Monday, that void is still going to be there. Let's say that the dead stuff is filthy language, anger, rage, talking about people. Ephesians 4:31-32 said we need to get rid of this stuff. We need to let all that stuff go, and we need to treat people like God treats us. When we mess up, we want God to forgive us. When we pray the Lord's Prayer, do we really hear what we say? Forgive our debt as we forgive our debtors. Lord, only forgive me based on how I forgive somebody else. If you forgive other people, that would cut down on some of the anger. That would cut down on some of the filthy language. That would cut down on some of the rage. So treat people like God has treated us. The dead stuff could be hooking up date-wise or friendship-wise with unbelievers. 2 Corinthians 6 and 14 says that believers should not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. I don't think I can say anything else about that. That's plain and simple. If they ain't saved, you shouldn't be with them. And sometimes if they're not saved to a certain level, you shouldn't be with them. We need to take time to get to know people. We need to take time to apply the word of God to our relationship. Maybe the dead stuff is pride. Oh, I'm just going through some things. And maybe I haven't hit your dead thing, but you know what it is. Maybe the dead stuff is pride. 1 John 2 and 16 says that pride is worldly. You know, if you think too much of yourself, too much of your talent, too much of your skill, too much of your money, too much of your education, that's not of God. Because God said, I have no respect of person. Just because you may be blessed with all of those things, God don't love you any more than he loved me. God has no respect of person. But let's look at 1 Corinthians 6, verses 9 and 10. Had a whole list of dead stuff. And I was reading it in the New Living Translation, and I liked how it sounded. Deacon Smith, read it for me. Read it loud.
1 Corinthians 6, verses
9 and 10.
Don't you realize that those who do wrong will not inherit the kingdom of God? Don't fool yourself. Those who indulge in sexual sin or who worship idols or who commit adultery or are male prostitutes or practice homosexuality. Or thieves, or greedy people, or drunkards, or are abusive, or cheap people, none of these will inherit the kingdom of God.
He said it all. And after that, Paul was talking to the Corinthian church. He said to these believers, he said, such was some of you. In other words, y'all used to do this stuff. He said, but because you've been washed in the blood, because you've been sanctified, because you've been justified, he said, because of Jesus, you're no longer that way. That's what Paul said to the Corinthians. But this morning, God is saying to the church, such was some of you. God is saying to the church, such are some of you. Some of you are still messing with these things. But he's saying, you know what? It just don't have to be that way. If you believe in Jesus and know what Jesus did for you, by knowing that he died on the cross, he's saying, then you will know within yourself that you were chosen for a purpose. Because God made it easy for you to obtain what it is that he wants you to do by Jesus dying on the cross. When Jesus died on the cross, it cleansed, it washed away all those things. When Jesus died on the cross, it set you apart. You're special. When Jesus died on the cross, it put justification in place. You're no longer guilty. I don't have to pay for my sins. All I have to do is ask for forgiveness for my sins and be sincere. If you decide, you know, we all make choices. If you decide to stick with the dead stuff, there are consequences for your choices. There are consequences for every choice that we make. God is saying this morning, he wants you to rethink your purpose and the direction that you're headed. When you look at Samson, let's get back to Samson, because when I start talking about dead stuff, people stop saying anything. Let's get back to Samson. You know, Samson was a man with a whole lot of potential. You know, you don't hear about any other man being as strong as Samson in the Bible. But Samson was so busy being hard-headed. Samson was so busy being quick-tempered. Samson was so busy being revengeful. Anytime somebody done something to him, he wanted to get them back. But when you read it, just read the story. You know what? You did this to me? I'm going to do this to you. He misused the gift that God had placed within him. And because he misused the gift that God had placed within him, God took the gift away from him and gave it to the enemy. He that dealeth with a slack hand shall come to want. Did Solomon not say that? If you don't treat right what God has given you, God will take it and give it to somebody else. He took his strength and he gave it to the enemy. But when you keep reading that story, you know, just look at it. Let God deal with you on it. When Samson realized what had happened, when they did what they did to him and they put him down in the prison, when he realized what happened, he knew that if he called on God, things would change. And you know, some of you all may be in the same position that Samson is in right now. You may feel powerless. You may feel like the devil has taken your strength away from you. You know, you used to pray, but now you don't pray no more. You used to read your Bible, but now you don't read your Bible no more. You used to hang out with other Christians, but now you're separating yourself. You know those things we used to do because we was all excited about God, but now we don't do it no more. And when we go to the family reunions, we used to talk about God with family and friends, but now we don't mention God no more. When you get to a point to where you're powerless, you feel like the devil has stolen your strength, I'm here to tell you this morning that God is a God of restoration. God is a God that will restore. God is a God will take from the enemy and give back to you. There is nothing that the devil can take from you that God can't give it back to you. If you are sincere in asking for forgiveness, you got to believe Romans 8 and 28. You got to believe that all things work together for the good of those who love the Lord and are called to his purpose. You got to believe that, but then you also got to believe that it's not just for other people. God will do it for you. You know, a child of God is never defeated. Even though it may look like it, the devil can make it look like you're defeated. But a child of God is never defeated. And I'm almost through. But you know, I was just sitting there and I'm looking and I'm reading about Samson. I can just see, you know, they shaved his head when Delilah told where his strength come from. They shaved his head and they gouged his eyes out. And they put him down in the prison, in the dungeon. And when I read in some Bibles, they say that what the job that they had him doing was a woman's job. And then I read in another one, it said the job that they had him doing was an animal's job. Regardless of whose job it may have been, it was a humiliating position for him. But I can see Samson down there grinding. And I can see one day he probably realized, this job ain't as hard as it used to be. And I can see he, you know, here we go the next day. This job ain't as hard as it used to be. This ain't in the Bible. It's just me. When I was studying this is what God was just showing me. And I'm just all excited. I can just see him saying, this job is just not hard as it used to be. I can see him reach up and scratch his head. And then he realized his hair was beginning to grow back. You know, the enemy can hurt you on the outside. But it's what's inside that counts. They cut his hair, but they couldn't get to the root. They couldn't get to what was inside of him. So whatever is going on with you, the enemy can mess with you on the outside. But if you got Jesus deep down off in the inside, what's in you is going to come out. Amen. The word of God says Samson focused on God. Samson began to pray unto God. I dare you, whatever you're going through, I dare you to call on the name of Jesus. I dare you to be sincere. I dare you to ask God for deliverance. I dare you to fall down on your knees and say, Lord, forgive me. I dare you to humble yourself before God. I dare you to say, Lord, I'm sorry. That's what Samson did. He humbled himself before God. He said, oh, Lord, remember me. Lord, give me my strength back. But then when you read that, he said, give me my strength back so I can get back at the enemy for getting rid of my eyes. Samson still had that the revengeful mentality. God did just that. God gave him his strength back so that he could destroy the enemy. But guess what? He had to die with the enemy. And I'm saying the story just don't have to end like that for you and I. We can learn from other people's mistakes. We can learn, yeah, we can call on God anytime it looks like we're in a defeated situation. But if you humble yourself and you let God know that you want back what the enemy stole from you so that you can do what God wants you to do, then death don't have to be the end of it for you. In Psalms 37, it says, though you fall, you shall not be cast down, for the Lord will uphold you with his hand. The Christian is never defeated. You know, the song says that we fall down, but we get up. We fall down, but we get up. A saint is just a sinner who fell down, but got up. The difference between the saint and the sinner is not that we don't fall down, because we all fall down. We all go through some things. But as a Christian, you got to know where your help comes from. If you're going to say Lord of Lords, if you're going to say King of Kings, if you're going to believe that you can do all things through Christ which strengthens you, if you're going to believe that he will never leave you nor forsake you, you're going to have to put that into action and let God do what he said he was going to do. Let God prove that he can do what he said he's going to do. A lot of times God is not allowed to do what he's going to do because we don't allow him to. We keep him in that box. Just because we couldn't handle it, we say, well, he can't fix it. Well, I prayed to him last week, and the situation haven't changed. Your time is not God's time. Part of believing in God, part of trusting God, is giving it to him and turning your back on it and letting it go. And believe you me, that's easier said than done. I've been there and done that. I've been there to where I have prayed to God and then kept holding on to it. I've been there where when the pastor was talking about shedding tears, and the tears wasn't tears of joy. The tears were tears because of what you was going through. But as a Christian, we got to shed tears knowing that God is going to fix that situation. And even if it's not going to be fixed how we want it to be fixed, it's going to be fixed how God wants it to be fixed. You know, we got a habit of going to God and telling him what we want. We got a habit of telling God how we want it set up. But we got to go to God in a humble manner, and we got to say, Lord, your will be done. Fix me, Lord, so that I will be able to accept how you got it set up, how you want me to do it, who you want me to be with, what you want me to do. Lord, I want you to make your will my will. Because, see, all the time, our will is not God's will. Amen. So I want you to know this morning, church, that you are born with a purpose. I struggled with what the title would be. I thought about leave the dead stuff alone. But God said, no, don't use that title, because people already know what the dead stuff is. The people know what they're doing. The people know, pretty much everybody know when they're not living and lining up with the word of God. He said, but everybody don't really understand that they've been born for a purpose. Everybody don't know that they were born for a purpose. The people in here really don't realize that they are not the one who made the decision to be here. The people don't know that when I chose them from the foundation of the world, I placed it within them to be here at this particular time. I placed it within them to accept me as their personal savior. So what you're doing, you're just lining up with what God already have planned for you. You have a choice. God didn't take that away from you. You have a choice. Yeah, he don't force us to do anything. Because you know, if you have to force people, you have to keep making them do. But he wants you to come to him because you want to come to him. He wants you to come to him because it's the right thing to do. He wants you to come to him because it's what you believe. He wants you to come to him because you really do believe that Jesus died on the cross for you and for me. He wants you to really believe that even though sometimes it's hard to count up those 3 days and three nights, but because he said it, he wants you to believe I was in the earth 3 days and three nights. He wants you to believe just what he said. You can't always explain it all. He didn't say we had to explain it. He said we had to believe it. It's what you believe. And what you believe is what you will act out. Because when you believe it, it's going to change your way of thinking. When you believe it, it's going to change your way of thinking. And the way you think is the way you're going to act. The way you think is going to control that outside behavior. The way you think is going to keep you, going to make you want to let your light shine. The way you think is going to, it's going to make you care about your sister or your brother. Oh, yeah, we have some freedoms as Christians. There are some things that we can do that ain't all wrong, but if it's going to offend my brother, but see, it's not all about me. The only time it's all about me is when I decide if I'm going to accept him as my personal Savior or not. But after then, it's no longer all about me. It's about me and you. It's about other people who are lost, because God uses us to help save somebody else. So, okay, am I messing up? No, I'm not really messing up, but somebody view it that way. They don't have a good understanding. If meat offend my brother, Paul said, I won't eat meat. I care that much about my brother. I know that I've passed, I'm through, Tony, you can keep playing. I know that I've passed from death unto life because I love the brethren. In other words, I know that I'm no longer on this side of the fence. I know that death is not the end of it for me. I know that when I die on this side, when I fall into the deep sleep on this side, I have eternal life. Do you know that? God wants you to rethink your purpose this morning. And he wants you to think about the direction that you're going. Go home. Get by yourself. Meditate on it. Think about it. And then think about it some more. And then make up your mind. Do you want to stay on the path that you're on? Or do you want to get on the path that God wants you on? Because you know you can still get to where God wants you to go. But you can miss out on a lot of blessings that you could enjoy on this side if you did things the right way. Amen? Amen. I've done what God has instructed me to do this morning. But you know, when the preacher preach, whether it's me or someone else, it's not a time for you to focus on the preacher. It's a time for you to focus on your relationship with God. It's a time for you to sit there and do an assessment. What the preacher is talking about, is it applying to me? And is it affecting my relationship with Christ? After every preacher preached, the doors of the church or the invitation should be extended. And that's what I'm doing right now. I'm extending the invitation. For anyone who have not accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, now is your opportunity. Because you know the next hour is not promised to you. Next Sunday when the pastor preach, it's not promised to you. Tomorrow, it's not promised to you. But right now, God is giving you an opportunity. If you haven't accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, today is the day. And don't be ashamed, because all of us had to come this way.